Shalom to all. Today's Avos Yerushalayim Pesachim Daf Nun Gimel. We're starting about the fourth line at the two dots with the words of Chama Bar Okva B'Shem Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina and Vilsos Davos on Mem Heon Beis. And today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Bas Biakav Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. So Misha mentioned the case where the Karm Pesach was shechted Erev Pesach, which was on Shabbos, and they discovered only afterwards that the Bailim, the owners, were Moshe Chedayim from Pesach. Literally, that means they've taken their hands away. In other words, they're not registered as Pesach anymore. The kind is Potter. So we're talking about this in a different instance. Rav Chama Bar Okva says B'Shem Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Hamoshe Chedayim. Someone takes himself away from his Pesach, meaning he's not registered to it anymore. Gufay Karav Shlomim, its body is brought as a Shlomim. It's not a Karav Pesach anymore because it doesn't have owners, but it still can be brought as a Shlomim. Now we have Machlokes. What does it mean it's brought as a Shlomim? It's Rabbi Yonah says, Shlomim Ksherim. It's brought as a Kasher Shlomim, meaning this animal itself is brought as a Shlomim. Whereas Rabbi Yonah says, Shlomim Psulim, it's a Pasul Shlomim, which means that this animal came brought as a Shlomim. It has to be left out to graze until it gets a mom. It's sold, and then that money is used for a Shlomim. Now we try to make a deal from the Mishnah as a question on Rabbi Yonah of a Tanin and Potter. Amisha said that Kain Shechs Pesach that doesn't have owners, he's Potter. Now, sovereign Maymar Potter or Kasher. The Havamina is, that means that he's Potter and it's Kasher, which means that it would be a Kasher Shlomim, not that it's a Shlomim Psulim like Rabbi Yisa. However, the Gemara says, no, Psarin Lay, they explain as follows, that Potter, Pasul. When it says that he's Potter, it means he's not Chayiv, but the carbon's Pasul, and that actually is like Rabbi Yisa. Now, we have another way of looking at this. Rabbi Yisa says, B'Shem Rabbi Yechanon, Ein Lecha Pesach Gufay Karav Shlomim, El Sha'avad, Renimtsim Achash Kippurai Bailim, the only type of carbon Pesach that's able to be brought as a Shlomim, meaning that animal itself, those designated for the Pesach that's able to be brought as a Shlomim is only if the first Karban Pesach was lost, a different one was brought in its stead, and then they found the original one, so that original one is able to be brought as a Shlomim. But in our example, where the owners had taken themselves away from this one and they're not the owners anymore, that can't be brought as a Kasher Shlomim. Asking Mar, very similar to previously, about Tanin Potter, Almer just says Potter, and Sovereign Maymar, they thought to say that this means Potter Kasher, that he's Potter for Shechting on Shabbos, even though it doesn't have Bailim, and it's a Kasher animal, clearly not like Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan. However, once again, we say no, Psar Lay, Potter, Pasol. We could explain that it means putter and it's puzzle, so it's just like Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan. Now we have another opinion. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says that kol she'arum b'chatos mesa ki yotzei bei b'pesach gufei karav shlamim. Anytime that if this is a carbon chatos, we say that it has to be left to die, and there's actually five different chatos hamesos. One of them is if the owners died and it doesn't have an owner anymore. So if we have that same situation by a carbon pesach, namely that it doesn't have an owner, so gufei karav shlamim, its body is brought as a shlamim, and this is not like the previous two opinions. There's like Rabbi Yonah's opinion that we had. Now here we try to make the opposite mashmas from Mishnah, but Tanin and Potter, the Mishnah says Potter, and Sovereign Maymar Potter Pasul. They want to say that when a Karban Pesach is shechted on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, that doesn't have owners, that he's Potter, but it's Pasul, and that's definitely not like Shmuel. However, Psar in law, Potter, Kosher. It could be explained that what does the Potter of the Mishnah mean? Potter, and it's Kosher. Now we continue explaining this. Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yechanan, that really we could say to Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, we could make a proper dik for our Mishnah that a Karban Pesach, whose Bailim were Moshe Chadayim from it, they decide that they're not part of this Pesach anymore, it still is Kosher, but it'd be the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. What does that mean? The Tanin Taman, we have a mission over there, which is later on in the Masechta. Ain't shechting Pesach al yachid. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says we can't check the Karban Pesach al yachid, which means that a single person can't bring Karban Pesach. There has to be more than one person registered to every Karban Pesach, and that's based on a drasha from pasuk. It can't just be that a single guy is living at home alone. He's antisocial. He doesn't want to be part of somebody's Pesach, or maybe sadly nobody invited him, so he's just going to bring his own Karban Pesach. That doesn't work. You have to have at least two people bringing Karban Pesach together. Whereas Rabbi Yosi Matar, Rabbi Yosi allows it. Now, based on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we could say that our mishnah is according to him. What does that mean? That we had, let's say, two people registered as Karban Pesach, one person pulled out, and that's what it means that the Bailim were Moshe Chesedeim, they took themselves away, but only one of them, and there's still one person registered to it. So that's a situation where we say, Potter, that the person who shechted is Potter, really l'chatchil, he shouldn't have shechted it al yachid, still he's Potter, and it's actually kosher, because at the end of the day, there still is a Bailim registered as Karban Pesach. So Reb Zayir Abba Kumi Rabbanu, Reb Zayir Hasan Fon Rabbanu, Hanashkachnon Potter v'kosher. Where do we find the concept that somebody's Potter for doing something and it's actually kosher? If something's kosher, you don't have to use the word Potter. Of course the person's Potter. If it's kosher, it's obvious that there's no Isser. And if you're going to use the word Potter, then that means that usually it's Pasul. Because if we have to tell you, don't worry, you did something you shouldn't have, but you're still Potter. That usually means that what you did is Pasul, it's not valid, but you're Potter. So what's this Lashon that we're saying? Potter, but it's kosher. Where do we get this from? Amar Leh, so Rav Mana told him, Tanin and Hacha Potter. Over here we learn Potter. This referring to an earlier mission discussing shechting other karbanos, such as a shlamim on Erev Pesach, l'shem the Karban Pesach, and since it's technically right to be the Pesach, we said that he is Potter. However, Tanin Taman, kosher, we learned later on that it's kosher. That's because another Mishnah says beferosh that a shlamim shechted l'shem Pesach is kosher. So we actually see that something that somebody is Potter for could still be considered kosher, and these two l'shonos, these two wordings, don't contradict each other. And continue to discuss the case of the Mishnah, where the Karban Pesach was shechted, and it turned out afterwards that the Bailim were Moshe Chesedim from it, so that means that it doesn't have Bailim. What do we do with this animal? So about Kulam regarding regarding all these, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechon Breka, said, the first we have to wait for its tsura to change, and then it's brought to the Beis HaSreifa. And this is important to Kuda regarding kachim that are pasol. And there's two different types of psulim. One is an inherent psul, a psul haguf, that there's something wrong with the animal itself, and that's burned right away. For example, if the kohen shechted it and had an improper machshava, that pasols the carbon itself, so right away it gets burned. However, there's something that the Gemara in Olam Beis calls a psul machshir, that it's a psul in allowing the carbon to be kosher. Another way of saying this is an external psul. There's some other reason why it's pasol, an external issue, and for that we can't burn the carbon right away. We have to wait for Iber Tsuro. We have to let it stay overnight, so to speak. Its appearance changes. Now it's officially nicer. As regarding this Pesach that was shechted, and later on it turned out that it didn't have an owner when it was shechted, we first have to wait for Iber Tsuro, says Yishmael Benoisha Rechim Reika, and only then we could burn it, which means it's not an inherent psul, it's just a psul machshir. It's an external psul. So we go on top. Reb Lazar Reb Yaisi, asked for Reb Yaisi, Nicha Shemesu Shenitmu. We understand if the owners of this carbon Pesach died or if they became Tamei, that's considered an external psul. There's really nothing wrong with this carbon. It's just that there's some sort of external factor that apostles it, and then we require Iber Tzura. But Shemash Chabam is Yada, Manan Kaiman. What about this case that we're discussing now, that the owners remove themselves from the carbon? What are we referring to here? In Bachayim, if the animal is still alive, and that's when they were Mashach as Yadam, that's when they took themselves away from it. Psul Machshir? You want to say it's a Psul Machshir? That's some sort of external issue? Psul Hagufu. We have to add in that word. It's a Psul Haguf. That's something wrong with this carbon itself. It's not allowed to be brought because it doesn't have owners, and so it should be burned right away. And in Lachar Shechita, if you want to say that the Bailam were Mashach as Yadam after the Shechita, well, that doesn't work because Yash Mashach Lachar Shechita, can the owners take themselves away from it after it was Shechted? No, that simply doesn't work. In that case, the animal wouldn't be burned at all because it's not Pasul. So what's the situation where we have the case where the owners were Mashach as Yadam from it, but it's considered an external psul, and therefore we have to wait for Iber Tzura? The answer is, Mekimin Shesh La Rishos Lim Shaykh, since they're allowed to withdraw themselves from it, they could take themselves away from it. Psul Machshir Hu, it's officially considered Psul Machshir Betan Tzura, and it needs Iber Tzura. Hadronach Elu Dvarim, Mazar finishing the sixth parak of Mesechus Psachim. Just as we're Zachar finish this parak together, we should be Zachar finish the entire Mesechus together, and of course, all of Shas Yerushalmi together. Without pausing for too long, moving right into the brand new parak. The Mishnah says, Ketzat Tzonas HaPesach, how do we roast the Karm Pesach? What's the practical steps? So Shpuchel Rimon, Toichma Mitoich Piv, V'ad Beist Ukvasai, a spit made out of pomegranate wood, is stuck through the mouth of the Karm Pesach, all the way through the body, coming out of Beist Ukvasai, which is its rectum, that's the backside, V'noisan is Krav, is B'nei Mev, Osoichai, and its legs and its intestines are placed inside of it, in the hole, in the cavity of the body, and that's how it's roasted. The Rebbe Yisaglis opinion, which Rebbe Kiva says, K'min Bishalhu, that's like cooking it, and the Pasuk says very clearly that you're not allowed to cook the Karm Pesach, you can't stick it in a pot and cook it, and when you put the legs and the insides inside the animal and roast it, so those things that are inside are not getting roasted, they're getting cooked, and therefore, toilin chutzaloi, they're hung on the outside of it, and therefore they're roasted directly by the fire. So like Mar tells us the case of Tzonas HaPesach v'chulu, and the question is, Lamashal Rimoin, why specifically does a spit have to be made out of Rimoin wood? So Rav Chiya Bar Abba, he explains, kol eitzim bitzin mashkin, v'shal Rimoin eitzim bitzin mashkin, all other woods, if we make a spit out of them, when they get heated by the fire, liquid's going to come out of them, and that's going to be considered cooking the Karm Pesach, which we just said in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to cook it in water, as the Pasuk says, u'basham u'vashal b'mayim, it's not allowed to be cooked in water, and when moisture, liquid, comes out of the wood, that's going to be considered cooking the Karm Pesach, whereas Rimoin wood doesn't have moisture coming out of it, so wouldn't have this problem. As the Gemara in Kamen, we're referring to, in Balachin, if the wood itself is moist, afilu shel Rimoin bitzeit, so then even Rimoin wood is going to have moisture coming out of it, and in Bivation, if the wood is dry, afilu kol eitzim eino bitzein, then no other wood either has moisture coming out of it if the wood is dry. And the answer is, elokeini, kol eitzim bivation b'chutz v'lachim b'fnim, all other wood, even if it's dry on the outside, it still has some moisture on the inside, and when it's used as a spit, that moisture will come out, whereas Rimoin, yavash b'chutz, yavash b'fnim, Rimoin wood, it becomes so dry that not only is it dry on the outside, it's also dry on the inside, and they wouldn't have any issue of water. We continue discussing, Tani b'shem Reb Yehuda Omer, the price was Tani Reb Yehuda, Tzayla oise b'shput shel mateches, the Karm Pesach could be roasted on a spit made out of metal. So Amaloi, they asked him, v'arei v'hasech marsiach, it gets boiling hot, and that in turn will boil the Karm Pesach, which means that the Pesach is not being roasted by the heat of the fire, it's partially being roasted by the heat of the metal spit. And that's a problem, because again, the Pasuk says that it has to be roasted in fire, which means that the fire is the sole source of the cooking of the Karm Pesach and not the boiling hot metal spit. So I'm going to respond to them, but no, Kashem shal eitz einu nisraf, kach shal matechas einu marsiach. That just like a wood spit, when it has something on it and it's placed in a fire, it doesn't get burned, so too, a metal spit, when it has something placed on it and it's in the fire, it doesn't get hot enough that it's able to cook the meat that's on it. However, Amrulay, they told him, loy dema eitz matechas. Tachas, that's not true. Wood and metal are not comparable. That wood, when part of it gets hot, the rest of it doesn't. So even if the outside part of the spit, which is more exposed to the fire, might get hot, the inner part of the spit that's being covered by the meat, that doesn't get hot. Whereas Shamatachas, Chamuk Tosai Cham Kulai. This is an important rule with metal, both halachically and just in the ways of the world, that when part of the metal gets hot, the whole thing gets hot. Sometimes you could have a pan on the fire that even though the pan is placed directly on the flame and the handle is significantly off the flame, still the handle itself could be boiling hot. That's by metal, Chamuk Tosai Cham Kulai. Part of it's hot, the whole thing is hot because of its conductive properties. It's the same thing with a metal spit roasting the Karban Pesach. If part of it gets hot, that heat travels all the way through it and therefore will end up cooking the part of the Karban Pesach which is on it, and that's why metal spit is not allowed to be used. We're going to stop it for a day and pick up tomorrow discussing the Machlokes, Rabbi Yosei Glean, Rabbi Kiva, regarding what's done with the legs and the insides of the Karban Pesach. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.